Amen. What a blessing to be here.
Amen.
There's such a good spirit in this place here this week, and it's there's something special about it. I look forward to this meeting every year, and look forward to the folks that come down for it, and we get to know you more and more each year, and it's a great blessing to see you here. And I'm looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for us this week. And let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll have just a little time of preaching here, and then we'll go home. Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll go to several different places here tonight, talking about the local church, talking about the church that God's given us. I think that if you've been in any church for any given period of time, then you could go on and on and on about what God's done for you through your church. And so I'd like to talk about it for just a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 12. We can start in verse 11. It says, "He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Dr. Walker, would you open us in prayer one more time here, please, sir? Amen. Amen. Now, we know from school and from studying our Bible what the church is for, what the local church is for, right? It's here to exalt the Savior, first of all. It's here to lift up and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But a lot of people will say that, well, I can worship Jesus Christ in the deer stand, or I can worship Him on the bass boat, or I can worship Him in lots of different places. So do we really need the local church for that? Okay. And then we know that the local church is here to evangelize sinners, right? But people say, well, I can hand out tracts, and there's all kinds of parachurch ministries and things, and the Gideons and all these different things where maybe we can evangelize sinners without the church, right? Maybe. And the last thing is that the church is here to edify saints. It's here to build up saints. And I'd like to focus just a little bit on that last part here, although I don't believe that we can do those first two things without the local church. One of the things that if you're a Bible school student here that you'll see in the very first year is, you know, we'll ask you the question, or your teacher will ask you the question, what cannot be accomplished without a local church? And the answer to the question, for those of you who may have taken notes on it, the answer to the question is no permanent work. That is, nothing permanent can be done without the local church. But there's something about the local church here, something about this place here, and your church at home, and these churches that dot the landscape around here, that just, it can't be replaced by things that are trying to replace it these days. And I'm not sure where we get this idea, or where we've gotten the idea that it can be replaced with things like the internet and things that are going on online. You know, thankfully, I think that people are starting to get their eyes open to the fact that social media is not really the same as socializing. You know, I mean, and I think that people are starting to see that watching a preacher on television or on the internet is not the same thing as coming in and hearing a preacher preach in a local church. I think people are starting to come around to that. But for some reason, we're in this weird place where we're, especially Bible believers, because I think it's because we're independent Baptists. If there, you know, there's any kind of potential issue that we have, it's going to be going too far in the lane that we're in. Maybe that we just have a tendency to be a little too independent. Right, and we just take that and say, "Well, I can be independent." We break off and we break off and we break off until we're just splintered down into nothing, until we've got just independent Bible believing Baptists that are at home, and that are not. There's no church that's good enough for them. There's no church that fits them just right, just so. But you know, I listen. We are. Strong on doctrine, okay? The Bible Institute is called the Bible Doctrine Institute. So we believe in Bible doctrine. But there are some things that you get from a local church that are so important to your Christian walk with Jesus Christ that you have to sometimes you have to make a comparison there. You know, there's a verse where the Lord looks at the Pharisees and say, you guys are straining at a gnat, you're swallowing a camel. And I think a lot of times what we're seeing in our from our Bible believers is that we're looking at these small doctrinal problems, or we're looking at these small practical issues in the churches that are around us or that are close enough for us to go to, and we're picking apart these small little issues, and we're saying, I would rather just go home because this church is not perfect. This church isn't good enough, or it's got this little doctrinal problem, or this little people problem, or the preacher doesn't do this just quite right. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we will splinter apart so much looking for these tiny little differences and shoot each other and have this circle, this circular firing squad where we just shoot each other until we're all dead. That is a real potential problem with our independent churches. There are pastors in this place right here who, there are Bible believers who won't go to their church because they think there's something wrong with the pastor, something wrong with the church. I mean, that is sad. And if you ask them what's wrong, they'll say some doctrine or some practical issue or the paint on the wall or the person who sings or the person who does. They'll say something that is so minute and so tiny. And in the meantime, they throw away all the benefits of a local church because of this tiny little problem, this tiny little issue. I don't want to just give you all the things that I see that are wrong or that are a problem. I'd like to encourage you a little bit and say, and show you, at least talk from experience, about what the local church has meant to me, what it's meant to me. And maybe with that introduction say, is the issue that's causing you to not go to a church or to splinter off and to break off and to do your own thing or to consider leaving, is the issue as important as the benefits that you get from just staying and being faithful in a local church? Because a lot of times we throw out the baby with the bathwater. And we throw out so much good stuff because we're concerned about this little thing, this tiny little thing. Now, I wasn't going to say this, but y'all remember the Old Testament where a couple of tribes were fighting with each other? And one of them wanted to stop the other one from coming in. And so they said, how are we going to be able to tell if this person is one of us or not? And they said it was by whether or not they said shibboleth or sibboleth when they came in. Now, do you realize these people had a civil war going that was so bad, they could not tell each other apart at all. They had no differences from each other. They were all the same. And they were making these small... The only way they were able to tell this person apart from this person was how they pronounced a word. And they were willing to go to war over this kind of thing. You see it? And so I think that we are in danger. We're in danger of majoring on these small issues so much that we throw out everything God's done for us that's good. Everything that God's given to us that's good. You know, the Bible says in verse number 11, it says he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists. These preachers that God's given to us in the local church is a gift to us. It's just an absolute gift. And if you have a good local church nearby, or if you have anything that's close to a good local church nearby, God's given you a gift. I can't even imagine my life without church. Can you imagine your life without a local church? I mean, this girl right here, you raised your hand, so I'll use you as a testimony. When I first got here, she was right here, and she's still right here something like 20 years later. She was a teenager. She was one of the first teenagers in the youth group when I got here. And she knows the benefits of a local church. I know the benefits of a local church. God has done so much for me. I don't know where I would be. I don't know how I would operate. It doesn't even make sense to me to think of not being able to be in a local, to be in a church. God has done so much for me through this church and through this place that I couldn't get anywhere else. I think of my kids, first of all. I think of how my kids have good Christian friends because of this church. Now, sure, I could go home and I could listen to preacher on the internet, but my kids wouldn't have the friends they have. I mean, they would have my daughter. She's a teenager now. Lord help us pray for me. She's a teenager now. She's a great kid. She's not perfect. And our teenagers in here are not perfect. They're not perfect. But have you seen some of the kids in the public schools that she would have to be friends with if she didn't have friends here in this church? It's very bad. Very bad. I took her phone the other day, not too long ago. She doesn't know this. But I'm dad, I get a chance, I get to do this, right? And I scrolled through her text messages. Parents, you got to do this every once in a while, right? Scroll through her text messages just to see if she was doing anything wicked or saying anything wicked or any bad conversations going on. I saw a group text. Okay. Group text. Surely there's something bad going on here. I don't know why parents, we look for something bad. But I'm looking through the group text here, and it's a group text from the kids in church. And you know what they're saying in the group text? They're not gossiping about each other. They're not doing. You know what they're saying? I've got this real problem in my life. Can you please pray for me? And then, yes, we're praying for you. Yes, we're praying for you. Yes, we're praying for you. Just down the list. She's got friends that are Christians because of this place. Friends that she would not have if we decided to go home because I didn't like the fact that the walls were white instead of green. Do you see what I mean? Now, listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, it's the verse that I preach to these kids more than anything else here is the youth director here. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You know what this church is doing? This church is potentially keeping my daughter from being destroyed, from walking with unwise people. Now, what is that worth to me? What is that worth? A lot of stuff. I mean, I couldn't put a price on it. How much it's worth to us. No, they're not perfect. My kids aren't perfect. Your kids aren't perfect. But God's given us a good group of kids for my kids to hang out with as a result of being in this place. My kids, not only that, but my kids have thoroughly learned the Bible as a result of being in this church. Now, I mean, I like to think I know the Bible. I can just go to Bible school and, you know, learn the Bible. I could teach them myself. But I would never be able to teach our kids the Bible like this church has taught them the Bible. There are some people who teach here. If you're a Sunday school teacher in here, would you mind standing up for me, please? If you're a Sunday school teacher here. Do you see these ladies over here? See this lady right here? My little kid, y'all can sit back down. I know y'all are, hey, you hate that. My kids went through their classes, and they know the Bible as a result of them, amen, not as a result of me. You say, well, bless God, I can teach my kids the Bible. Not consistently, you can't. You'll teach them your hobby horse stuff that you care about. You'll teach them just here and there, just a little bit. My kids have been able to come and learn the Bible week after week after week, every single week, for years and years, until they know the Bible just in a way that I could never be able to teach them the Bible. And that's only as a result of being in a local church here. We were driving down the road the other day, and I was looked over at a church that was kind of rough. I have a problem with this particular church, personal stuff, and I looked at it and kind of meh. And Jew is in the back seat. He said, "What's the matter with that church, Dad?" I said, "Nothing, nothing, nothing." And he goes, "Is it Calvinistic?" Now, Judah is 8 years old. All right. I don't know if he knows what "is it Calvinistic" means. Probably not. Where does he get that? He gets that. I said, "Where did you learn that?" He said, "Well, from preacher. Preacher talks about it." You know what he didn't say? "From you, Dad." You know, you're my great great Bible teacher, Dad. He didn't say that to me. He said, "I learned it from preacher." I mean, these kids are learning the Bible consistently, week after week after week, in a way that we can never teach them the Bible. As a result, we have a teen class, and by the time they get in the teen class, they know all kinds of stuff. Brother Walker, you'll appreciate this. I put on the board dispensationalism the other day. Our teenagers are learning about dispensationalism. It's hard to believe. I put it on the board and I say, "Can anybody tell me a definition for dispensationalism?" Two or three kids raised their hand and they gave them the definition of dispensationalism. A period of time when blah, 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 blah. And I was able to teach them and get into the Bible with them and things. This is amazing. How is that possible? It's not because we're, you know, teaching them at home. And yes, you can teach them at home. Yes, you should teach them at home. I'm not talking about just, you know, putting all your stuff. But you would never be able to teach your kids the way that they get taught here. You wouldn't be able to do it. It just doesn't happen. The Bible says that teachers are given for edifying. That's what this verse says here. My kids have thoroughly learned it as a result of being in this church here. And there's something about the consistency of the church. There's something about just going week after week after week. And learning it week after week after week. Mrs. Peacock puts together a lot of Sunday school curriculum here for the kids. And she's got Sunday school curriculum laid out for these kids from the time that they are 3 years old, two, 3 years old, all the way up to when they're teenagers. You know how many weeks? Just weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. There's something about the consistency of that that I just cannot match at home. I can't do it. You know why? I am extremely inconsistent. You know, Dr. Ruppman used to say that the thing that messed him up more than anything else was the inconsistencies of the brethren. And if you're a pastor in this church here tonight, maybe one of the things that bothers you the most are the inconsistencies of the church members. But you know what that's called? That's called, if you're a pastor, that's called job security. I mean, that's what the church is there for. If they were consistent, they might not need you. But there have been times in my life where I was not consistent in reading my Bible. And I don't like to admit it, and I'm ashamed to say it. There have been times in my life where I was not consistent in prayer. There have been times in my life when I was not consistent in speaking up for the Lord. And because I was here in church on a Sunday morning, the Lord used it to kick me in the pants and say, it's time to pray again. There have been weeks. Have you ever had weeks where the only time you prayed was here at church? There have been weeks where the only time you cracked your Bible was in church? That's terrible. It's not good. But thank God for it. Because this is, our lives are like this. You know, we're just on fire for God, and then we're just, you know, Tuesday morning, you're a wreck, right? But there's something about the church and coming to church and being faithful to it that just smooths out those highs and lows. You know what I mean? It smooths it out. It gives us a consistency that we would not have in our lives otherwise. You would not have it. Some of you would be way too hot, way too on fire and fervent and burning up, and you'd burn your family to the ground. I remember when I first got saved and came to this church here, and the preacher said, What do you think? I said, I was called to preach. What are you thinking you want to do? I said, well, I want to be a street preacher. I want to have a street preaching ministry. I mean, 17 years old, wanted to be a street preacher. That's what I wanted to do. You know what God did? I love street preaching. God took that this church here, and He said, "Okay, let's temper that just a little bit." The times when I would have just gone off like a Scud missile, I had to come here and just submit, and just say, "Okay, I'll." Instead of street preaching, He'd say, "Well, you know, you can go out and street preach with this group, take turns, submit yourself to this person who's going to teach you how to do it right, and He's going to, you see what I mean?" And He just gave me a little bit of temper that I wouldn't have had otherwise. He gave me some consistency that I wouldn't have had otherwise. You know, there's something to it that's kind of like, it's kind of like guardrails. You know, there's something to a church and going to a church and being faithful to a church. It's kind of like driving down the road with guardrails. Now, that does not mean, I don't want you to get me wrong, it doesn't mean that you can just like set your life on cruise control and just let it go. Right? You cannot, I mean, you have to feed yourself. You have to get into your Bible yourself. You have to have your own prayer life. You have to have your own walk with God. This church cannot do it for you. But there is a little bit of safety there. It provides a little bit of safety. I used to, when I was 16 or 17, I had a job downtown Jacksonville at the Blue Cross Blue Shield. And I had to be there. I was in the mail room. I had to be there at 5 a.m. which meant that I was the only person on the road going downtown, and I was exhausted. I didn't learn when I was a kid that you had to go to sleep earlier if you're going to wake up that early. So I would go to bed at the same time, wake up early, and then just be dead tired driving to work. And I remember I could point to you the location going downtown where I had the thought when I was driving one morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I had the thought, if I close my eyes right now, I could get in the middle lane, take just a little nap, just a little nap. And then drift to the side, and then the side bumps will wake me up. I could get just a little nap. Have you ever been so tired that you have thoughts like that? I mean, just so, no, you can't. You cannot do that. You can't. Just because you have guardrails doesn't mean you can sleep in your car. All right. Just because you have a church doesn't mean that you can sleep. Okay. There's a verse that says, "Awake, thou that sleepest." But there have been times where I've tried to stay awake on the road. And doing the best that I knew how to do to stay awake on the road, and found the car hitting those bumps, and it woke me up. And I say, thank God for those things. Now, I'm not saying you can go to sleep in this church or your church, but how many times have you been trying to stay awake? How many times have you tried and just, you've got so much going on in your life, you got so much going on in your heart, you got so much just against you, just the devil and the world just against you, and you're trying as hard as you can, and this church is the only thing that's keeping you in place. You can't do that sitting at home watching it at home. You're not strong enough. There's something very proud about a man who thinks he's strong enough to do it on his own. Look over at Philippians chapter number 2. Church has given my kids friends that they wouldn't have, good Christian friends. If it's taught my family the Bible in a way I never would have been able to. It's given me consistency in my life. Church has given me an opportunity to serve God and not to be selfish. It's given me an opportunity to serve God and not be selfish. I think that I might get some rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I've heard people say, I don't know if I'll get anything. I look back and I think, I may get something. I may get something. It's not because of me. I can look back and say, I might get some rewards for that. And invariably, it's because of something that the church allowed me to do for God. It was nothing that I just woke up one morning and said, I want to do this. It was something where God used the church to give me an opportunity to do something for him. I mean, you know, I had have a friend who said, is there anything I can do to help the Jubilee? Anything I can do to help? I said, yeah, man, stay after the church here and you'll see. After everybody leaves, people start grabbing vacuum cleaners and cleaning stuff up. He's got a chance to do something for God because of this place here. And he could get just something to cast at the Lord Jesus Christ's feet, the judgment seat of Christ, because he's coming here tonight. If he wants to, do you see it? And it's something that he would not have been able to do on his own. Say, well, I can do this and I can do that. You can't, it's not the same. When you are by yourself, on your own, you are selfish. You're just, it's all about you. Look at Philippians chapter 2. If there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and of any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. This is a verse about the church, this church at Philippi here. This is not about your family sitting at home. This is about living with other Christians. Amen. This is about us living with each other. And it's not fun sometimes. Otherwise, he would never have had to say these things, being of one accord, of one mind, if there weren't times when we weren't of one accord and of one mind or tempted to be. But this is what he's talking about. He's talking about the church. He says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, verse number 3, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You see that? That's where we've got to be at this point. We've got to get away from the spirit of the world that says, I am better than everyone else. Amen. I am the one that everyone should be looking at. I am the one that everybody should be following. I'm the one that everybody should be listening to. We've got to get the spirit, the mind of Jesus Christ that says, I look at these people in this church and esteem them better than I esteem myself. Amen. And that will cause you to have some humility that you wouldn't have otherwise. You can't have it sitting at home. It won't happen sitting at home. It only happens in your church. Amen. Now I believe that the 3.5 versus the 7-year doctrine of tribulation is important. I do. But if you had to put those two things on a scale, you being a humble Christian who esteems others better than themselves, or you going to a place that believes what you believe about whether the tribulation is 3.5 years or 7 years, which one is more important? Amen? Amen. There are things that God has let me do in this place that I could not have done on my own. I couldn't have done them on my own, which is important because we want to do stuff on our own. You know, we want to think that we are important and that we are the ones doing stuff. You know, we want to think that we're the ones serving God and we're the ones that God is using. But I can't look at any accomplishments or anything that God has done through me and say that it was just me that did it. Amen. And you want to, don't you? I mean, you want to look at it and say, I did that. But a church does not allow you to do that. I was sitting here, I'll tell you how I'll tell myself a little bit. But you know, when preachers, when we tell ourselves, we only tell them the little things. We don't tell the big things. So I was sitting right here where I sit. And looking at this organ right here the other day, this is how wicked, this is ridiculous. Looking at this organ, and I'm the one that found that organ, just so y'all know. Before we had this, we had a broken down organ. It didn't work well. It was terrible. And so I said, preacher, let me find us an organ. I looked around online, I found this organ, and I was sitting here admiring my work the other day. I was sitting here going, I was thinking, look at how that matches that. How did you do that? How did you find that? It looks like it was built for this church. It's just perfect. And the Lord said, that organ cost over $12,000. How much did you spend to buy that organ? I said, well, not $12,000. I can't take credit for that. And that's what the church does. It knocks you off your perch. Knocks you off. And it says, We can't do this on our own. Pastors, you know what you know? If you're building a church, you can't do it on your own. One of the first things that preacher said to me when I got here years ago was, he said, Sam, we've got to spread this base out. He said, this church is growing. This thing is, Lord's doing something here. We've got to spread this base out. We've got to have men that are doing all kinds of things. You know what he knows? He knows he can't do it on his own. If you're a pastor, you cannot do it on your own. You've got to be able to have some men and some women that will help you in your church. Spread it out. And if you're a church member, you've got to know you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're not going to be able to do anything for God just on your own. And the church will help you with that. Amen? Look over at Romans chapter number 16. I'm going to close here in just a minute. Romans chapter number 16. You say, well, what about Paul? Paul did it all on his own. No. He really didn't. A lot of times we skip passages like this because it's just a list, right? Look at Romans 16. You see the list of people there? It's just a list, so we just kind of skip it. And you know, in your Bible reading, you just kind of skip over it. Why did Paul put it in here? I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as become a saint, that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. There's Paul saying, this woman helped me. There's verse number 3. Priscilla and Aquila, Paul said, my helpers in Christ Jesus. They laid down their lives, laid down their neck for him. In verse number 4. So it's not just me giving thanks, not just me that these people are helping, but all the churches, the Gentiles. Do you see this? Look at verse number 6. Mary bestowed much labor on us, he said. There's a preacher who preached this passage and he said, don't call it a list. This wasn't just a list to Paul. It wasn't just a list. Don't call it what you want. Don't call this a list. Amen. These people meant something to Paul. He said, Mary helped me. Priscilla and Aquila, they laid down their necks for me. Look at these. He's got fellow prisoners in verse number 7. He's got someone who's beloved. He thinks of Amplius. I can't even pronounce it, but Paul, it was beloved. This person was beloved to him. And you know what you've got if you've got a local church? You've got a list in your church. A prayer list. A roll call list, a list of people where you think back in your head over all the people in the church. And don't call it a list. These are people that mean something to you. Amen. Verse number 13 says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. His mother and mine, it says. Paul's mother. You know what that means? Paul had a mother here, someone who he saw as a mother to him. That means that when he was over there, she said, you know, can you imagine the Apostle Paul? with his someone who's treating him like a mother treats him. Saying he's saying, I've got to go preach. She's like, well, you can't go preach until you've had dinner. Sit down and have some dinner. I know that you've got all the churches and the care of the churches, but you've got to have some biscuits before you can go care for all the churches. And he said, greet her because she's like a mother to me. She took care of me. Don't call it a list. Don't call this place just a building. This place isn't a building to me. These people in here aren't just random people to me. These people in here have helped me up when I've fallen. Ecclesiastes says this, two are better than one because if one falls, the other one picks them back up. He says a threefold cord is not easily broken. And there have been times in my life where I was broken. And the only reason I'm here is because there have been two other people to pull me along. Remember when I, many, many years ago, when I first went over to PBI, I got there, and I didn't know anybody over there. I didn't know anybody. And, you know, a lot of students drop out in the first 6 months. And I got there, and I sat down in this rented room. Nothing in there, not even sheets on the bed. Sat down on the bed. Lord, what have I done, you know? And the guy I rented the room from came in, and he put a box on the bed. He said, here, this just came for you. And it was, I opened it up and there's cookies in there. Crackers, chips, all kinds of stuff. And it had a card in there from Miss Gentry, who I didn't even really know that well at the time. Hey, I'm praying for you. We're praying for you as you go to school over there. Hey, what is a box of cookies in there? It means a lot. It means a lot. Don't call it a hospitality basket. Don't call it a care package. Don't call it a list. Don't call her just some person. She means something to me. I don't know where I would be if it not for Brother Brad up there, who sits up there, and every once in a while he'll say, Brother Sam, it's just a blessing to be able to serve the Lord with you. And Miss Pat, who comes over after a message and says, that was good, that was a blessing. And she's heard a lot better messages in her life, and she's saying, that was a blessing. Or when I go home on a Sunday night after preaching or something, preacher's been out of town, I'm preaching on a Sunday night, and I get in the car, and I don't know if that was any good or not, and I get a message from a saint saying, I was not able to come, but I saw it, and man, it was a blessing. The Lord, man, I needed that so much, and I'm praying for you, and thank you so much for doing that, and it's just helped me along. And time would fail me to be able to say and pick out each and every person in here. That I would not be here if not for you. And you would not be here if not for them. And that's what God has given us when he's given us the local church. That you can't get on your own without this place. Amen. Amen. All right, preacher, we're ready.